That's a good question. Very good question. Bible says to the believer, to the Christian, that we are in the world, but not of the world. But if we're going to reach the world, we got to go to them. That's what the command is. The command is to take the gospel to all the world. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, getting over near the end of it. The effort to take the gospel outside is what's needed today. We can get so comfortable sometime as God's people that we don't remember what is the most important thing, and that's taking the good news that Jesus loved us and died for us and taking that news to others. Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to read about 13 verses. I'm going to give them a title for the comments in the tape room up there. I'm going to title it, Don't Be Left Behind. I think that'll kind of go along with the song service this morning. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 25. The Lord Jesus, of course, is talking. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. He's painting a wedding scene for them now. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, I'm not going to put this so much in context. The Lord Jesus here, by the way, this is a wedding picture, but the virgins are not marrying the bridegroom. They're going with him here to the wedding. And I want to take the big point, though, that the Lord Jesus makes. He makes that in verse 13. He says, Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. What he is basically saying here, he's admonishing them to be ready. To be ready. That's an obvious truth that he's making here. Now, those that aren't ready were left behind and the door was shut. Truth of the matter is, have you ever been left behind? Have you ever had that experience? Experiences can vary. Every preacher's had some family leave some kid asleep on a pew and go home. Had that happen a few times. I've known that to happen. And maybe you've been one of those kids. I don't know. But being left behind can be an annoyance. It can be an inconvenience, like missing the bus. Or, you know, I have a personal deal with the airlines when I go to fly a plane. My deal with them is if I'm not there, they can leave. And they will. Now, I'm joking around a little bit, but have you ever been left behind? It can be something small, like you missed the bus or you missed the plane, or it can go all the way to that's tragic. And we've been seeing in the news here of late about people leaving their kids in a hot car and terrible thing. I believe it was in the paper this week where a couple went to church and one went one direction at church, another to another department, and they both thought the kid was with them and they left him in the hot car. And by the time the dad realized it and went back, it was too late. Now that's tragic. I mean, left the kid behind in the car. That is tragic. And there's a great terror sometime in being left behind when you know there's no hope. No answer. some of it's coming out now, the archives of some of these nations, Russia and America and others, that have had things happen in space that the news didn't pick up on. They say, and I don't know if it's true, but they say in the early days when Russia was putting up the Sputniks and the first man or two that they put in space, they're saying that one time they lost an astronaut and he just floated off in space in that suit. Can you think of anything any more horrible than that? To know your line was severed, you were just going, you didn't know where, you didn't know what was out there. You knew even if you lived, you could only live so long without the food and the water. That would be a most horrible thing to think of, being lost in a situation. I've known of some hunters lost in the woods. When we built our youth camp out here many years ago and was cutting through the jungle out there to build it, they found where a hunter out there had died in the bushes, apparently lost. And all that was left was a skeleton and a few rags of cloth. Now, the sad truth is, it's terrible, terrible thing to be left behind. We can think of funny incidences. I think of evangelist Billy Graham when he was younger. Tells a story of how he was traveling overnight to get to a meeting, and one of his friends driving him, and he got in the back to lay down and take a nap, and the friend stopped for gas. And when he come back to the car, Billy had gotten out and gone to the restroom without the friend knowing it. And he drove many miles down the road before he missed him. Now that was a little funny and a little annoyance, but think about being lost forever and lost with no hope. The verse here in verse 13 says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man." That's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He promised, "If I go away, I will come again." Now, I want to say, sadly, in the future, there's going to be a lot of folks left behind. And that is sad. I'm not happy about that, but I know it's a reality. I want to say some things about being left behind. To begin with, as I look in the Bible, I see in the biblical past, there were some folks left behind. How about Noah's day? The Lord allowed Noah to preach for a long time without any converts. People didn't believe it. They didn't believe that the catastrophe was coming. And he long preached. He warned, and yet the flood came. And I notice here in the text I read, it says, and the door was shut. You know who shut the door on the ark? Not Noah, God. You read the story carefully. How that he got in there and God shut the door. You know why? Noah would open the door out of compassion. When they begin to claw on the side and holler, and when mothers begin to hold up their babies and all, I believe with all my heart, Noah would have said, "Open the door, open the door." But God shut the door. And Noah couldn't open the door. And there's some folks left behind. I mean, there was a big crowd of folks out there that didn't get to go up in the ark. They didn't get saved from the flood. And it was a worldwide flood. I heard just recently. Well, there's a real puzzle, no puzzle to me, but a puzzle because they found frozen dolphins on top of a mountain. Wonder how they got there. They didn't fall out of space. They floated up there, brother, during the days of the flood. Oh, yes, it was a worldwide flood. Now, we've had local floods in the news here lately, and it's a helpless feeling to even see the water rising in your house. Bad thing. And I feel sorry for these folks, and I guess we missed a bullet here with the storm going north of us, but I feel sorry for the folks that got flooded out here and there. I had a family member, a second cousin, I believe it was, several years back. There was a flood in that part of Georgia, and a lot of houses flooded, and some folks did lose their lives. And by the time they got to her house, she had gotten up on the table. She'd finally got off the table and took the lid off the ceiling. And when they actually rescued her, she was hanging up in the attic. And she said the fear and the terror of seeing that water continuing to come up and to come up. And so it was an awful time in the days of Noah. It was an awful time in the days of Lot. You remember the story of Lot? Remember how God sent the angels to rescue him out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember the story? God was judging that place, and by the way, he judged it because of the sin of sodomy, and we still have in our vernacular today, in our language today, we still use the word sodomite. That's what the King James Bible uses. Now, if you've got a new version, they've polished it up, watered it down, even taken the word out. But God brought judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. By the way, if Sodom and Gomorrah was begging for judgment, how much more in the world today? How much more in America as we elevate homosexuality and push the agenda? Our Vice President, Joe Biden, on August the 1st, performed a ceremony in his home, in the Vice President's residence, performed a ceremony for two men in marriage, two staff members. You want to know why the agenda is being pushed? It's being pushed from Washington and all that bureaucracy up there. But two staff members, one of them was the coordinator for the travel plans of the First Lady. And Uncle Joe had a picture made with the men holding hands and Uncle Joe standing in the middle smiling. Now that's sickening. It's just sickening. And it's calling for the judgment of God just like it did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But can you imagine? God sent the angels. They had to pull Lot and his wife and his girls out. But you remember Lot tried to get his son-in-laws to go, and what'd they do? They mocked him. Now I just imagine, as Lot and his wife and the girls were leaving, I can imagine as they left behind those son-in-laws, what those son-in-laws probably said, "Good riddance, get out of here, you old Bible thumper, get out of here. We don't want to hear that stuff anymore." But in a little while, they found out how awful it was to be left behind when the fire and the brimstone began to fall. I can just imagine they probably rejoiced in seeing Lot leave. Now, let me say this. I've preached this, and maybe a little bit wrong sometime. I've said, you know, what a tragedy it is when all of a sudden loved ones are gone and the rapture takes place and Jesus has come and the world will be mourning. A lot of them will be rejoicing, just like those son-in-laws. They're going to say, "Good riddance. Get out of here." They won't even know what they've been left behind for a while. Oh yeah, I really do believe that. But I see in the biblical past here where folks were left behind, I see events in our day. Some of you remember, and many of you should, maybe even some veterans here, you remember the fall of Saigon? Did you see the pictures, even on the news? And they didn't cover near enough of it. But our helicopters landing on the roofs of the buildings, trying to evacuate our people. And I felt so sad for so many of those South Vietnamese that fought on our side. They were left. You saw some of them hanging onto the rails of the helicopters as they took off the buildings. As we were running, we were evacuating, we were getting out of there because the war had been lost in Washington, D.C. and on the streets of America. That's where it got lost. And it was a terrible thing to see that evacuation and to see how many left behind, the enemy coming in, left to torture, left to certain death. It was going to happen. It did happen. You remember the killing fields of Cambodia? Missionary I know, Brother Bob Eisward, and I was talking to recently, was talking about his mission work over in the killing fields of Cambodia. You remember our traitor, Jane Fonda, Hanoi Jane, we called her, went over there giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Remember that during the Vietnam War? She was partly responsible for that evacuation and leaving a lot of people behind, leaving them to awful fates as the enemy came in. And you read about how they did terrible things. They sharpened bamboo sticks and took the kids and put the sticks in their ears and slapped them together to kill the kid. You all read some of that awful stuff. It was awful to be left behind when we left Saigon. Talking about Jane Fonda, she come out later with some exercise books. I said from this pulpit, if I had a wife weighed 400 pounds, I wouldn't let her give a dime for one of them books. Now help yourself. Traitor, far as I'm concerned. But we've seen in our day some folks left behind. We pulled out of Iraq. We left a lot of Christians that had helped us in Iraq to the enemy. We left them behind. We left them to an awful fate. You ought to see some of it. And by the way, what we are doing now is the same plan is being brought into America. Look at me. See this little pamphlet cut out in my hand right here? The title of it, it says, To Conquer America Through Civilization Jihad. Now, this is not put out by a Baptist preacher. This is put out by a man named Frank Gaffney. Frank was the Assistant Secretary of Defense under Ronald Reagan. The information that is contained right here, and I'm hoping I can order a bunch of these. I knew about this a little bit. This was used as evidence in a court trial against the so-called Muslim Brotherhood in America in their plan to take over America. Listen, they have a plan. It's been going on a long time. It's called their civilization jihad. It is to repopulate America and take over and get Sharia law in and do in America what they've done to many of those nations in the Middle East. And yet we are pussyfooting around like they were good guys. They're not. And they have no good intentions for us. Now here's this little pamphlet. I cannot begin to read it, but it was used in the court evidence when the FBI raided one of their houses, and they have so many in America right now planning our downfall, and we somehow or another can't even use the word Islamic terrorism. And that's what it is. Frank Gaffney is the former Assistant Secretary of Defense under President Reagan. And this evidence was used in court. Now it's in a little pamphlet right here. And I'm saying to you folks that if we're not careful in America, we're going to see inside America what is happening in a lot of these other Mideastern nations. Now that's too bad. It explains some things. The State Assembly in California, just this last week, designated August as Muslim Appreciation Month. I guess we appreciate the towers falling, and the heads being chopped off, and the honor killings. What in the world is wrong when we have that sort of thing happen? What's behind the increased attack on Christianity today? And it is under attack. And by the way, the attack that's coming on Christianity is also coming on patriotism, on the flag. When we got a ball player that can earn millions a year and won't even stand up for the national anthem, something is wrong in our country. When you got those same ball players walk out on the field with pigs written on their socks, and I am thankful for the police union in California that said we won't even go and police your crowd for you. And they ought to stick by their stuff. What in the world is happening today as we see a Christianity attack? There's a newspaper in Knoxville. Now that's the Bible Belt. That's almost where the belt buckles in Knoxville, Tennessee. There's a newspaper there that refused an ad from a Christian bookstore because they said that word Christian is offensive. Now the crowd rose up and they've had to change their position. We need to rise up in America. We're losing the America we once knew, and we're losing it fast, folks. Many Americans today feel left behind by their government. How about America first once in a while? How about doing what's best for our citizens once in a while? I'm just saying it's an awful thing to be left behind. It was in the biblical past. It is in our day. And there's many reasons to see such a time coming that's going to be greater than all I've mentioned, when the biggest crowd of all is going to be left behind. Hebrews 10:25 tells us we can see it coming. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of Jesus coming. And he is coming. Jesus described himself in our time what would be happening. One thing, Israel would be attacked by the nations, as I was teaching in Sunday school this morning.
He said there'd be wars. He said there'd be rumors of wars. He said there'd be earthquakes in divers places. He said there'd be kingdom rising against kingdom. He said all that in Matthew chapter 24. By the way, did you hear about the pretty good sized earthquake out in Oklahoma? Divers places, places that's not happened before, like not many in America, not many. But the truth is, we can see these things happening. We can see the day approaching where some are going with him and some are going to be left behind. When some that knew him and some that don't know him. When some that was on his side and when some was on the wrong side. There's a day coming when a generation is going to be left behind. Many reasons we can see today. Jesus described many of them. How about the culture result today? Do you know what we're seeing in our culture today? We're seeing the results of a reprobate mind. Romans chapter 1. God said, after a while, I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. That, you say, well, why don't things make sense today? We got reprobate minds controlling things, running things. And even in our country that started out as a Christian country, and we look around, and it's hard to figure it out. And then the Lord Jesus said, when I come back, Luke 18, he said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Now, he was answering his own question. He was going to be saying it's running down. There's going to be less of it. It's going to be harder to find. And you know what we're looking at today? When we see such things as Christian, the word Christian becoming an offensive word. When we look around today and we find out that we can't even have flags on the fire trucks. When we look around today and see what is being done and we wonder what in the world is going on. The faith of our fathers living still, the song says, it's not living like it once lived. And that's a sad day I'm talking about. But there's going to be a time. The Bible talks about there's going to be a time of separation. There's going to be a time when some are going to be taken and some are going to be left. And the sad truth is today, folks don't believe that no more. And just like in the days of Noah, there's going to be some of them screaming and hollering, I didn't believe, open the door, but it's going to be shut. It's going to be too late. And I hate that. Books have been written about it. Songs have been written about it. One of the saddest songs you'll hear, and I think we've had it on our radio station a few times, it's sad to me, because my mind, I can see it. And the song, somewhat a little bit of a country song maybe, but it says something like this. It's a little girl that cries out and says, Daddy, you can't come with us. Think about that. As though the rapture was taking place and she was saying, Daddy, we've got to leave and you can't come with us. Now, I want to tell you something. That gets a hold of me a little bit, but that's going to be reality. I said, don't be left behind. You don't have to be left behind. But there's going to be a lot of folks left behind. Simple reason, they've rejected the Lord Jesus. They've listened to the world's propaganda. They believe the lie that the world is telling. And one day in the moment, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, that's pretty fast, folks, that the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall be raised and we that are alive will be caught up together with them in the air. That's the rapture. That's when Jesus is coming for his own. Now, I look here in the text and I realize these five were unwise. They were left behind. They were not ready. There's going to be a lot of folks left behind, not ready. How do you get ready? You come to the Lord Jesus Christ, admit you're a sinner. Thank God that he died for your sins to pay a price you couldn't pay, and receive him as Lord and Savior. You can be ready. You can be ready. It's a sad thing to be left behind. Now, though, is the time to be ready. The midnight cry came. Five virgins had no oil. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. And I hate to say it, but there's going to be a lot of folks that say, Lord, Lord, and they have no Holy Spirit. They've never been born again. You see, you don't get ready by just doing something religious. Just by coming to church won't get you ready. You can come to church and hear the good news that Jesus loved you and died for you, but until you make it personal for yourself, the church can't take you to heaven. You can go to a bus station. That station can't take you anywhere. But you can sit there till the bus comes and get on the bus.
You can come into church and you can hear the good news of Jesus. You can sit there, you can get up and leave, or you can come receive him as Savior. You may miss some trips down here, but there's one trip you better not miss: to be left behind. The tragedy of left behind with no hope. Now's the time to make ready. The finality of hell, somebody said, will probably be one of the greatest torments there. I said, what are you talking about, preacher? I looked at it recently again. It's an old book. Pulled it off my shelf. The title of it is The Divine Comedy. It's written in about 1500, 1550. It's written by a fellow that is considered a classic author today. Dante is his name. And it's often referred to as Dante's Inferno. And it's a scary book, even though the reading is hard because it is old, but it's got a lot of pictures that was drawn by the old timers still in the book. And it's this man's imagination of what must be in hell. And he shows the creatures and the drawing and the fire. And as you get up to the gate of hell and you see the fire in there, a title right over the top of the big gate says this: Abandon all hope, ye that enter here. Abandon all hope. It's final. No way out. No way out. Too late. And somebody has well said, one of the greatest terrors, one of the greatest pains, one of the greatest agonies is the finality of what has happened. Too late. Too late. Had the opportunity, heard about Jesus, heard about his shed blood on the cross for my sins, but refused to receive him. We can get left behind by a bus or a plane, but if you get left behind by Jesus, that's final. It's over. That's it. I ask you the question today: are you risking being left behind? You know, we generally go to catch a plane or a bus. We have a time that we're trying to meet, a set time. The thing is, Jesus is coming, and I can't tell you. The verse says, watch ye therefore, that you know not the day nor the hour. I can't tell you the time, but you know what? That makes it more urgent than if I could. If I could say next week at this time. Boy, there's a lot of folks want to crowd in on Friday or Saturday night and get right for Sunday morning. I can't tell you it's going to be that long. I can't tell you it'll be longer. I can't tell you it'll be shorter. I can tell you the most important thing about it is be ready. Amen. Is be ready. That's what the verse says. Be ready. So I've come to your church. I've heard how to be saved, and I'm going to do it one day. I actually had a man here in this town tell me that. He said, Mickey, I've heard you on the radio, and one day I'm going to let you save me. I said, you won't be saved if I save you. But Jesus will save you, and it'll be real. Truth. I hope he's dead now. I hope he got saved. I don't know if he did or not. I hope he did. But if Jesus comes and you're left behind, the Bible says that you'll believe a delusion. You'll believe the lie of the Antichrist that will show up. What an awful thing it's going to be to be left behind. This morning, I encourage you to leave that seat and come forward and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Leave this building without the fear in your heart that if the trumpet of the Lord sounds today, but that you'd be ready to go. Would you do that? Christians, I'm going to ask you to not pick up your Bibles, but bow your heads right now. There's somebody sitting around here in this building. Maybe next to you, behind you, in front of you, there's people in this building. Yes, in this building, in this church building, that would be left behind if the trumpet sounded right now. I'm going to pray for their souls. I hope you will too. And then I'm going to give what we call an invitation and invite them to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and be ready. Be prepared. Father, I do come to you in prayer. Lord, I pray for those in the building that if the trumpet sounded, they'd still be here when your people left. They'd be left behind. Dear God, I pray for their souls. I pray for their minds and their hearts. I pray that the devil would not be able to convince them to keep putting off Jesus because they think he's coming way later when he may come any moment. And the Bible says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, how quick it is, Lord, how soon it could be. We don't know, but we know he's coming soon. And we pray for that soul that needs to trust him this morning, just like I did, just like many others. And to get the peace of God that if the trumpet sounds, it'll be our victory day. But oh, what a sad and final and awful day for those that are left behind. Lord, I pray you'd bless the invitation this morning. We're going to sing a song. We're going to invite men, women, boys, and girls to leave that seat and come and say, I'll receive Christ and believe on him as Savior this morning. Turn, repent from their way to his way. And let him be their Savior. I pray they will in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. Brother Hector's going to lead us in a verse of song. We're not playing church. Souls are in the balance. Some are going and some are going to be left behind when Jesus comes. How will it be with you? Do you have the peace of God in your heart that you're ready? I hope you do. If you don't, you can get that peace.